We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. One, two, three.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. The rest of my life gonna start today.
No mucking around today. This is the updated podcast of Magic Millions Day. Whenever this is your accompaniment, so recommend you opening up Vince's Race Speed Profiles, the final edition, and Vince will talk you through his thoughts here. G'day, Vince.
Good morning, Ralphie. What a great day to be alive.
Mate, it always is, but gee, I always also like it when I see all these high confidence races. So let's not muck around. First race, the Gold Coast, it's a maiden. So what we really want to see is horses that are set for this. The Snowden team is your starting point there with Devil's Throat and Warmth. Warmth is very short in the market.
Yeah, Warmth. Very short in the market. It's amazing in a big field that they can be so short. What happened to the old days, Ralphie, when a big field like that should be tens to fields so we could all get great value?
That's right.
But not quite the case. Well, when I look at the race, firstly, number six, Devil's Throat. His profile in terms of last campaign, I felt that there was some real good positives to come from it. At its second start, that performance, 0.6 above, second best day, Kenzo 1100, when narrowly beaten in a maiden race, really was the highlight for that preparation, but never really got the opportunity to be on dry ground, I felt. Leading trials, particularly the most recent one at Rose Hill, I thought it was very sharp, and I can't help but feel that this horse looks set to at least match his historical PB from first campaign. If it can do that, then this is a race where, with the exception of a few horses, most of them are going to even get close to benchmark. And hence the reason why I've sort of marked it as one of the hardest horses to beat.
All right, well, that's a little bit of value there to beat the favourite, but it's a sort of moderate confidence race in the maiden, and we're going to start opening the shoulders up throughout the day here, starting with the second race, 1800. Wheelhouse is $2.50. It's on the quick backup, as is Love Tap, who went at very, very high speed last week. Now, wet to dry, as we discussed in our deep dive yesterday, is a different dynamic today. How are you assessing its chances?
Yeah, it is a big difference when we get from wet to dry. Firstly, Wheelhouse, Ralphie. We sort of noticed a couple of starts back that this horse was going to be ready to launch. And we were really excited when it won at the Gold Coast last start. I'm not saying that the ground conditions is against this horse, but I feel that its capability on a dry track is every bit as good. And given that this is a race where just can't really see the speed other than Big Boy Roy, and I'll be surprised if that horse goes really fast with Kieran on board. It just means that we're going to see a horse like Wheelhouse get that perfect drag in the race, that last start performance when it went 2.9 above. It was the first time it was asked to break benchmark for the prep. He's going to give this horse every possibility of being rock hard fit for another big run. I just can't see this horse missing the top three, but it is well found.
It is well found, absolutely. In the 2400, well, moderates are high. You've got Parry Sound on top. I suppose the question is, which I'm always a bit wary of, when a horse wins at $26, as it did at Randwick last start in a real slow tempo affair, is there any queries going forward? I suppose the starting point is you won't probably have to be very good to win this race.
No, this is a race, realistically, if you can break benchmark, you're going to win.
Yep.
Or go very close to winning. And Parry Sound, I just feel that it's just a massive improver. Have a look at what's happened in the three runs leading into this race. First up, 1,600 metres, went 12.4 lengths below benchmark first section. Then went to Randwick over a mile, went well beaten, but 13.7 lengths below, but a big mid-race squeeze of around 13.6. But last start, that was the big eye opener for me. Even though there was no speed in the horse through the first section, going 16.7 below, the squeeze was in excess of 20 lengths. Most importantly, between the 8 and the 400, went 4.1 lengths above IVR benchmark and then finished off the last 400 with a 3.1. A little bit of a slowdown between the 4 and the 2 of a couple of lengths. This horse is going to thrive to the step up in 2400. And if this horse can't beat this field, they're going to have a bad campaign.
Righto. In the Fillies and Mares race 4, well, geez, there's a few of our old favourite sizzlers, either current or previously, including Crone last year. We cheered home at amazing odds when winning this race. Snap Dancer just screamed next time, first up. Big Randwick run. Brookspire, big first up. Gosford was beaten at odds on a wet track. Blinkers on today. Crone, as mentioned, last year's winner. And Kiku, excellent last start, second off a 63-day fresh, and she's a lightly raced mare of all is on the up.
Yeah, this is a really good field, Ralphie. Firstly, Crone. That first up run, I'm glad the horse got the run in. That's probably the most important thing, and they didn't scratch it. Never going to be a chance off a 273-day break with the way the race shape was running. I was really rapt that they didn't sort of bust the horse open over the last 400. You could see the big deterioration pretty much kicking from the 400 to the finish line. The horse dropped pretty much almost 5 lengths in velocity and therefore tapering in conditioning but not overextending the horse. This is a runner that can improve dramatically second up. And if I look at that first up run in isolation, and even though the horse got beaten 2.5 lengths, that's as good as this horse has gone first up in any of its preparations. So I have this level of confidence that the Golan camp are going to have this horse on point for today. It's going to love the dry track and is going to run big again. I just wonder whether that price might get better. Don't be frightened if it drifts, because it's not going to be about that. This horse is going to run big, and I am expecting it to run top 3.
Well, that's the each way price there. Snap Dancer, as I mentioned, super first up. How are you breaking down its chances?
Another horse that impossible to fault. That first up run was fantastic off a long break, 1.1 above. Third best of the day. We know this stable. They're just masters of targeting their races. Okay, so the question is this. Could this horse match what it did at Randwick last campaign second up, and that was 3.8? If it does, it wins.
It's game over, isn't it?
Yeah, if it can do that, it'll win. So my question is, will it do that? I see nothing in the intel to suggest that this horse can't improve at least one length, and that means it's going to be a major threat to Crone. And if it finds another length, then no surprise, it's the winner and it gets the perfect race shape.
Brookspire, as I mentioned, was good first up, dominant in a lesser field, but then disappointed the market at deep odds on. So it is a different dynamic though, wet, back to dry, and blinkers on.
Yeah, all those things are really positive. I'm not sure if Waller's made the right move here, but in the sense that I can see that there's big money on offer, so this is what the chase is. I just feel this horse needs a mile along, and here we are. We're coming back from 1600 to 13. In fact, it's even the second up run when it won at 1400, even after that victory, they had the right plan going to 16, but we're back to 13. I'm very confident that this horse has got the distance against it, and it's the runner that I'd definitely take on.
And is that a similar case with Kiku, in that it was good for last start, but again, it's probably best profile is the mile?
That's possible, but here we are. We've only had the one run.
Right.
Off a short 63-day break.
The speed in the legs.
Yes, it's going to appreciate the dry ground. I also feel we haven't got the ceiling on this horse. So respect has to be given.
Nice. All right, let's have a look at the sprint race 5 on the program here. Away Game was the big flashing light. Oh, wow, what a good run this was at Caulfield Boxing Day. Behind the untapped stablemate Murabi, best last 800, 600, 400, 200 of the day, clearly set to peak here. How are you assessing its chances?
Yeah, I have to share your views. Everything points that we're going to see high probability of repeating what it did last start. Now that, even though that was a defeat, but the 2.6 lengths, you run that, you run to that number, you will finish in the top four. It is compressed at the top, but doing it from the front and being, oh, when I say, is James going to sort of overexert? I doubt it. I doubt it very, very much that he'll be overexerting. He's just going to roll forward, and it's not going to be a stop-start race. They'll just run right through the line, and it's got to be the horse they have to try and run down. And it's not going to be easy to run this horse down, because I'm expecting at least 2.6.
So that's not going to be missing the place.
No.
At that level. So the question is, who can take her on? Well, Isotope started deep favourite last year in the 3-year-old edition. Of course, it fell unfortunately, and then it had a bit of a break, but it was good resume at Rose Hill. 273 days between runs, but the Golan Camp, no doubt, coming to play grand final day.
Well, this is probably the scary horse of the field in the sense that we've got zero ceiling on it, and it's already got a frank 2.3 from that Randwick performance last campaign. The barrier trial was good. Is that enough? Obviously, they were going to run it and it got scratched. Not as worried because we are on a short course in terms of distance, in terms of being able to present yourself here first up. And I'm also reasonably confident that we're not going to have breakneck speed, because that could be its kryptonite first up off a long break. It's not going to be faced with any of these, and does get the sit in terms of positioning and running. So it'll get every opportunity to try and run down away game. It's just a matter of whether it can do it or not first up.
Well, screaming the big best value for the day, now you've had an extra 24 hours to look at it. We don't need to deep dive any further, but yeah, it sounds like you just remain as bullish as you were yesterday. Apache Chase, Bo Rosser, and then Nudge to be the big closer.
Yeah, look, the only thing is I did is I probably elevated Kemantari a little bit more.
Yep.
As being a higher profile of running first three. Confidence with a horse makes a big difference. It is very capable of finding a length. And even if it finds that one length, Ralphie, that's still below what it did at Ascot and miles below its absolute best, right?
Yeah.
So I am confident this is a race somewhere between plus two and plus three will get you victory. So that elevates his chances. But as far as Apache's chase is concerned, unless the horse breaks down, it wins.
In the 2-year-old race, Coolin Gadda's tight favourite. We covered what we wanted to say yesterday. Russian Conquest and Miss Hellfire, the ones to try and run it down. But you really have no knock on the favourite, but it's just a matter of if you want to take that very tight price.
Yeah, if you want to play, you'd be foolish to try and look for what could be perceived value. There isn't, but no value. The reality is if you can't get on the favourite or someone like Miss Hellfire or Russian Conquest or make a book between those three, there's no value and it's a dangerous race. So, yeah, you can play any of those other horses and say, oh, but I've got $30, $50. Make sure it's only 10 cents that you're outlaying. In other words, you probably can't get on with 10 cents.
Hasn't been much real movement in the market there for the 3-year-old, and you were nice and bullish about King of Sparta, keeping the place on side for Nash to slot in and then be very hard to beat. But Jamea obviously deserves good respect.
Yeah, it still represents the best value from my perspective in the race. And I just cannot believe that it's such a fantastic price. I mean, the profile of this horse is faultless, absolutely faultless.
Lovely. Well, we deep dive in those first three legs of the quaddie. The last leg, Miami Fleece, is the tight favourite. Disappointed the market last start in the wet track. It was very good the start prior. You've got it most advantage. Just summarising both from a betting perspective on it and others that perhaps we need to put in the quaddie.
Well, it really is the start and the end point.
Right.
With this particular horse. Everything centres around this particular runner. 100%, like you said, Ralphie, back on dry ground, monster advantage. Rebound absolutely on the cards from that first up run, from the second up run. Absolutely, no question. I'll be shocked if the horse can't run 1.2 or better. And good luck for any other horse trying to beat it. Now, if you don't have the comfort or you don't want to have how can I put it? If you're looking to have multiple runners in your quaddie, then it is a little bit wide. Wisdom of Water, I would definitely put in Lady Banth and Dr. Why Not, and possibly even Boomtown Lass. So that's how wide I would go if I pull the four out. The four away from the race, it's a different class of field.
Well, that's what we like. All right, lots of confidence today. Hope they run to our expectations, and we do really appreciate the fantastic support of our loyal customers here on Year Round Carnival. We'll review the meeting either Tuesday or Wednesday morning, just depending on when Vince has had a chance to clock the meeting properly. We want to obviously make this the feature of our review. Return next week on Year Round Carnival.
Get on down.